This is Tina Douglas, and you're listening to the Liam Photography Podcast with your host, my husband, Liam Douglas. Enjoy!
Greetings, everybody. You're listening to the Liam Photography Podcast. I'm your host, Liam Douglas, and this is episode 394 for Thursday, March 14th, 2024. And I have two big news stories for you for this week, but first, I wanted to take a moment and thank all of you for joining me every week for the show in your favorite podcast app. And I also wanted to thank you for subscribing, rating, and reviewing the show wherever you might be listening. Now, if you're not already a subscriber, why not? It doesn't cost you anything and only takes a second of your time to press the subscribe button. So do it now, please, so you don't miss any of my new episodes each week. And please go ahead and share the show out on social media and elsewhere to help get the word out about the show. And with that, on with today's episode. First up, Nikon acquires RED Cinema cameras as of March 7th, 2024. Nikon's surprise acquisition of RED Digital Cinema this week represents a seismic shift in the cinema camera space. It also has far-reaching consequences, not only for Nikon and RED, but also for the rest of the digital camera industry, including Nikon's biggest competitors. Before proceeding into that discussion, however, it's worth emphasizing that Nikon's purchase of RED has yet to be finalized. While there are no immediate concerns about the viability of the purchase agreement, until all the I's are dotted and the T's crossed, there remains a chance the deal will fall through. And it does sometimes happen. Assuming the purchase agreement reaches its desired conclusion and Nikon acquires RED, making the American Cinema Company a wholly owned subsidiary of Nikon, how does it change the landscape? Founded by Jim Gennard in California in 2005, RED Digital Cinema cameras have been used to film many major motion pictures and television series. Some of the more prominent recent productions that were shot using RED cameras include The Flash, The Matrix Resurrections, Suicide Squad, Army of the Dead, Nobody, and The Irishman, just to name a handful. To see that RED has a strong foothold among the world's largest production teams would be an understatement. In one fell swoop, Nikon has transformed its digital imaging business. That's not to say that Nikon needed a significant improvement either. Quite the opposite, as the company has not only been performing well financially, it has been making excellent cameras and lenses. The company has also made significant strides in the video space, with cameras like the Nikon Z8 and Z9 being very competent cameras for the serious video work. If there's one knock against Nikon's Z system regarding video performance, you could point to a lack of cinema-oriented lenses, at least from Nikon itself, as third-party manufacturers can help fill that void. Once the deal is completed, Nikon will have some of the world's best and most powerful stills cameras, which are still very good video cameras, and among the most performant cinema cameras on the market. That is an enviable position to be in, and it would be a great week to be a fly on the wall inside Sony and Canon's headquarters, as there is still no question that some higher-ups at both companies have spent the last couple of days fuming about Nikon's bold move. When Nikon, a publicly traded company, released its latest financials, it will be especially fascinating to see what this shiny new purchase cost. RED has approximately 220 employees and property, including a movie studio in Hollywood. While there's plenty of reason for Nikon to be interested in RED just on the basis of the company's cameras, and perhaps finally putting what was a bitter lawsuit to bed, there must be more than that in it. RED is not publicly traded, so there's no way to dig into complete financial performance, so we can leave that aside for now. Profit, or potential lack thereof aside, something RED definitely offers Nikon is industry-defining cameras, proprietary raw compression technology, image signal processing, and unique color science. These are all things that Nikon could implement into its own cameras. Not to spend too much time on the lawsuit of it all, But I think it'll be interesting if the arguments Nikon made about Red not having a strong claim to its own proprietary compression technology will hold less water now that Nikon will own the patent. I'm sure Nikon isn't keen on a competitor testing its defenses. Red is also expected for its image, respected for its image sensor technology. However, despite a bit of smoke and mirrors, Red can't possibly manufacture its sensors. It can certainly design them and engineering specifications, but it is not a foundry company. Red also works with stacked image sensors in its high-end cinema cameras and has done so for a few years now. I'm sure Nikon could think of some interesting ways to put that technology to use in its stills cameras. Red's image sensor expertise is undoubtedly of great value to Nikon. Based on Nikon's relatively short press release about its intention to buy Red, the company also touts different ways it could elevate Red's digital cinema camera business, including through Nikon's expertise in product development, engineering, image processing, optical technology, and user experience. Nikon also has a large and powerful network of business connections that could help improve Red's product offerings from a logistics and marketing perspective. Nikon has a rich history with developing autofocus technology and has recently invested heavily in AI-powered autofocus features, so that's something that Red customers may be hoping for on the horizon. Optics or lenses is an essentially interesting component for this deal. For starters, Nikon's Z system lacks a robust range of cinema-friendly glass, or at least less lenses designed for hardcore videography. Further, Red's cameras famously include a wide range of lens mount options, including compatibility with some of Nikon's biggest rivals. For example, the Komodo 6K and V-Raptor 8K cameras come with Canon RF mount. Will Nikon continue to sell Red cameras with a Canon RF mount? Probably. Will Nikon begin to offer Red cameras with Nikon Z mount? Well, maybe, but to what end exactly? As for Red's thoughts, the company's press release is about as short as Nikon's. However, Red did say, quote, "This acquisition marks a significant milestone for Nikon, melding its rich heritage in professional and consumer imaging with Red's innovative prowess. Together, Nikon and Red are poised to redefine the professional digital cinema camera market, promising an exciting future of product development that will continue to push the boundaries of what is possible in film and video production." End quote. By purchasing Red, Nikon goes from a small, respectable player in the cinema world that has struggled to gain much traction, even as its products have improved significantly, to a significant player. Just like that, Nikon bought its way into a conversation the company has tried to participate in for years. However, many questions remain concerning Nikon's plans for Red's brand, cameras, lenses, and technology. If Nikon is looking for inspiration on approaching its newfound power and influence, it needs only to look at its rival Sony, a force in professional photo and video spaces. Alongside its E-mount Alpha camera, Sony has a thriving cinema camera operation. Cameras like the FX3, the FX6, and the FX9 have been used on major motion pictures and accept the same E-mount lenses as Sony's interchangeable lens Alpha cameras. However, Sony also has its Venice line, which is a full-frame cinema camera that has the cine industry standard PL lens mount. The slight difference here is that Sony, despite its huge library of E-mount cameras and lenses, does also make PL lenses. CineAlta series. In contrast, Nikon doesn't already have cinema-specific lenses in its lineup. As for Red, well, it made lenses for a bit more than a decade ago, but it didn't go very well. Canon is also heavily involved in cinema cameras, although arguably not quite in the same way Red or Sony are. It relied heavily on cinematographers using its EF and RF lenses on Red cameras. We may not need to wait too long to get an idea of Nikon's potential direction for Red. NAB, one of the biggest video trade shows in the world, starts on April 13th in Las Vegas. Red is a frequent participant, and its absence this year would be surprising. Nikon is also there annually, and it would be very strange to not see both touting their new partnership. Regardless of the precise ways Nikon uses its RED purchase and the products that come down the pipeline in the next few years, it is immediately clear that Nikon is now a significant force in the digital cinema camera market. Nikon has gone from second, or rather fifth fiddle, to playing a leading role. Beyond being a perfect example of when you can't beat 'em, buy 'em, Nikon's purchase is also a masterstroke. The potential here for Nikon is vast, and if the company handles this situation as well as it has its recovery in the mirrorless camera space, the potential will ultimately be realized. Now, for myself, I personally see this as a bold move that will allow Nikon to be even more competitive in the camera world, as they have already or always lagged behind Canon and Sony at the video camera game. And even Fujifilm has better video capabilities in their cameras, especially with the new X Processor 5, which really ramped up Fujifilm's AF system, making it much faster and more sticky. With this acquisition of RED, Nikon instantly becomes one of the largest players in the cinema camera world, and it will also add a considerable amount of wealth to Nikon's bottom line going forward. Lens Rentals buys out Borrow Lenses, also from March 7th, 2024. Lens Rentals announced that it had acquired select assets of Borrow Lenses from Shutterfly, including the branding and assets. The company confirmed to Petapixel today that it doesn't include employees or the physical San Carlos, California location. Borrow Lenses shared the announcement on its blog, and the language indicated that the company was no longer going to continue its local operations in California. Quote, "While we will be closing our doors here in California, we are excited to join Lens Rentals and know they'll provide the very best equipment and customer support to ensure you continue to get the gear you need, whether you are renting or buying," the blog post reads. An odd sentiment for reasons that will become clear imminently. That statement also wasn't clear if it meant that Borrow Lenses as a brand would cease, if the physical location was closing, or a combination of the two, so Petapixel reached out to Lens Rentals for an answer. Quote, "Lens Rentals is not acquiring employees or locations as part of the acquisition," a statement to Petapixel from Tyler Beckman, Lens Rentals CEO, reads. "We did acquire the Borrow Lenses brand and select assets, and will bring the Borrow Lenses assets under the Lens Rentals brand, expanding our customer base while growing our inventory of pro-grade photo, video, and cinema gear and accessories. We've set up a transition page to help former Borrow Lenses customers onboard to Lens Rentals." Beckman makes it clear that the Borrow Lenses brand will disappear as it is folded into the acquiring business, which is in contrast to how Lens Rentals handled its Lens Pro to Go merger. Given that Lens Rentals now owns the Borrow Lenses brand, even if it doesn't intend to use it, and camera gear assets, the physical location will close and its employees' jobs, which are not included in the acquisition, will be terminated. Until March 10, current Borrow Lenses customers can extend their rentals directly through Borrow Lenses, after which point they will need to go through Lens Rentals. March 10th, therefore, sounds like the final day of Borrow Lenses operation. Borrow Lenses intends to continue to ship rentals out for the next 2 days, but orders that ship starting next week will be fulfilled by Lens Rentals. Any orders that have been recently placed but not yet received will either contain a new UPS return label or one will be shipped separately that will send the equipment back to Lens Rentals and not Borrow Lenses. Quote, "In the coming days, Lens Rentals will have your past order information to enable extensions, adjustments, and new orders all in one place. Look for an email from Lens Rentals with more details soon," Borrow Lenses writes. Going forward, Borrow Lenses customers will need to set up an account with Lens Rentals. However, if the account is set up using the same email ID used for Borrow Lenses account, then your previous order history will be imported. Lens Rentals has set up a detailed FAQ page to address any questions Borrow Lenses customers might have. In my view, this is not as surprising an announcement as the Nikon Red deal, as I knew lens rentals had been growing and becoming more and more dominant in the camera and lens rental game here in the United States for quite some time. And they and Barrel Lenses were two of the only successful companies to stay in business doing this game. Now, years ago, there was a third company that I used to use for my gear rentals and rent to own, but they have long since gone out of business, and I honestly can't even remember their name anymore, sadly. They were a good company, a good group of people, and I had bought my DJI Phantom 3 professional drone from them, as well as a number of my Canon bodies and lenses back in the day. But as I mentioned a moment ago, lens rentals had been growing and offering more and more gear over the last several years. And I believe they were becoming larger than Barrel Lenses, and now they have acquired them outright and become the only major player left in the U.S. for cameras and lens rentals. Now, I have also bought quite a few pieces of gear over the last few years from lens rentals, as well as both new and gently used, and they have always treated me well and sold excellent used gear. Together, these two major announcements from Nikon and lens rentals this month are going to shake up the photography and videography world quite a bit. But it will also make both companies stronger and allow them to better serve their customers going forward. Now, on a personal note, Tina and I will be traveling up north soon for a month, so I can have my late father's 2005 Chevy Colorado restoration completed. All I really have left is some bodywork and fresh paint, and the places I went to here in this area wanted way too much money. So I'm having this work done back home in Pennsylvania, where I can get quality work done at a more reasonable price. Now, don't worry, I will not be leaving you without episodes during the trip, as I just recently acquired the Zoom PodTrack P4 system, and that is what I'll be using to podcast from the PA New York State area. I really wanted the Rode Procaster Duo as my second smaller podcast system, but it's $500, and that's just too expensive right now. And the Zoom can do much of what the Rode can for only $150. Now, I've already added my sound pads to the Zoom and configured my microphone for it, and I'm actually recording today's episode on it to give it a full test run before we leave. I love the fact that the Zoom is so small, I can pack it in a smaller locking metal box that I normally carry my microphone cables and headphones in, and I am also ordering Zoom's microphone kit this week for another $80, which will allow me to have an even smaller setup on the road. Another nice feature of the Zoom PodTrack P4 is I can run it for up to 3 hours on just a pair of AA batteries. Although I have a couple of my AnyLoop rechargeable batteries in it now, I will be taking a few spares with me, and it's also nice that I can power the Zoom off of a USB-C port on my MacBook, or use one of my three power banks as well. I really love my Rode gear, especially here at home, but the Zoom PodTrack P4 system is not only way cheaper, but also much smaller and lighter than the Rode gear, so it makes it much better for travel use than the Rode gear is. While up north, I will be taking my Fujifilm X100V and its accessories, as well as my new Fujifilm X-T5 and a couple of lenses. Now, I've been wanting to do a review of the Viltrox 75mm f1.2 Pro lens with portrait images to feature in my video review, so I will be doing some shoots with my kids and grandkids to fully test out that lens for portraits while we are up home. And, of course, since I am taking the X100V, you know I will be doing some street photography as well, since I will have a month up there and plenty of weekends to get out and shoot, providing the weather is decent in April. I also have an interesting lens coming from Laowa that is a 10mm f4 cookie lens for my Fujifilm X-mount that is, of course, an all-manual lens, but it is super wide and it's rectilinear, so it keeps your line straight, unlike a fisheye lens, and it will be interesting to shoot with that lens as well while I am up north. I think this new lens will be great to test out at places like the Pennsylvania Grand Canyon and maybe also around Seneca Lake in New York. Laowa is not sending me this lens. I bought it myself, and at $319, it's not too terribly expensive to play around with, and it should arrive by next Monday, the 18th. Aside from really loving the design of my Fujifilm cameras, I also love the fact that so many companies make both autofocus and manual focus lenses for the Fujifilm X and GFX mounts, unlike Canon, who barred all third-party companies from making autofocus lenses for their RF mount. Now, having so many companies making lenses for your platform gives you way more freedom and flexibility, as well as being less of a drain on your wallet. Now, personally, I've been loving Viltrox's autofocus lenses so much that I have a total of 6 of them now. I have the 23, the 33, and the 56, all f1.4s, as well as the 85 f1.8 Mark II, and the 27 and 75 millimeter f1.2 Pro lenses. I am also contemplating their 13mm f1.4 since I recently traded in my Zeiss 12mm 2.8 to help pay for my new GF 45mm f2.8 for my GFX 50R. Now, speaking of the GF 45mm 2.8, I have been really enjoying shooting with this lens and the fact that it is a 35mm and full frame field of view. So, as I said before, it's perfect for street photography. And with the 50R, I call it street photography on steroids. I want to thank Daniel Carpenter at Fujifilm US once again for being nice enough to lend me this lens for 3 weeks to review and do some test shooting with. And now I have one of my own since mine just recently arrived from Use Photo Pro. Again, neither Robert's Camera nor Use Photo Pro are sponsors of this show. I just do a lot of business with them, and they have really treated me well. So next time you are in the market for some new or even gently used cameras or lenses, give the wonderful folks at Robert's Camera and Use Photo Pro a try, and a special shout out to Scott Morrison at Use Photo Pro for being a rock star when it comes to treating customers right.
Remember to check out the Liam Photography Podcast Facebook group. It is a private group, and you must answer a security question to join, which is the name of the host of the show, myself, Liam. And I've also opened it up to allow you to give the name of a previous guest on the show to show that you are a listener. Once you are in the group, you are free to post your own original work. I'm also the admin of the Fujifilm GFX 50R group, which is the largest group for the 50R on Facebook. If you own or plan to own the 50R, you can request to join that group, but you do have to answer 2 security questions to join that group. You can find my work at liamphotography.net and follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at liamphotoATL. If you like abandoned buildings and history, you can find my projects at ForgottenPiecesOfGeorgia.com and ForgottenPiecesOfPennsylvania.com.
All right, that's going to wrap up episode 394 of the Liam Photography Podcast. I want to thank you all once again for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us anywhere that you get your podcasts. I also wanted to remind you to stop by the Liam Photography YouTube channel. Subscribe to the channel, turn on all notifications so you don't miss any of my new videos that come out each week, and I will see you all again next Thursday.